live from Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Republican Dan Johnson Weinberger, Democrat Dan Johnson Weinberger, and Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. And we thank you very much for joining us tonight. Our program tonight coming to you from the Sirius XM studios on Chicago's Great West Side, where our phone lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. 1-800-723-8289. And our Republican is Chris Voronis, and our Democrat is Dan Johnson Weinberger. I know I misspoke at the beginning of the broadcast this evening. And before we get into the discussion, and the primary focus of tonight's program is going to be on the president's speech to the West Point and to the nation this coming Tuesday, talking about the future of the United States and military action or expanding the military role with more troops in Afghanistan. That will be our focus tonight. But before we begin the discussion, I think I would like to spend just a moment to talk about the tragedy in Lakewood, Washington earlier today. As you probably have all heard by now, four police officers, three male, one female officer, they'd gone to work. They were sitting in a coffee shop. They were checking their laptops, and someone came in and shot all four of them dead. And it's just a reminder that in this country, there are 800,000 law enforcement officials, whether they're working at the federal level, the state, the county, the local level, college police forces. So 800,000 people every single day, men and women, they get up, they put their uniforms on, they go to work. Primary goal is to help people, enforce the laws, and preserve order in our society. They are the absolute rock bottom of what we must do to maintain the society we have. They are at the foundation of that. And yet, they put their lives at risk every single day when they put that uniform on. And some people work in high crime areas. Some people work in low crime areas. Low crime areas like Lakewood, Washington, small town just outside of Tacoma, Washington. And yet today, as they were sitting, sipping their morning coffee, someone came in and shot them dead because they were wearing a uniform. And so we offer our condolences and the grief to those families. But also it is a reminder, and it is a time in this last official night of the Thanksgiving weekend to give thanks to the 800,000 people who put their uniform on every day to preserve the safety in the streets of the United States of America. And on a tragic day, when our condolences go out to that family, our thanks and appreciation goes out to every police officer, man and woman in this country. Regardless of where you serve, we appreciate what you do for the rest of society. And as a segue, obviously, this coming Tuesday night, the president is going to go to West Point, and he's going to be talking about more people who serve this country. There are 68,000 U.S. troops currently serving in Afghanistan. According to some published reports, there's going to be maybe another 30,000 heading that way in very near future. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the president's decision, why he made it, the pluses and minuses of the decision. And Dan Johnson Weinberger, I'm going to start with you because you're our card-carrying Democrat tonight. Throughout the presidential campaign, my recollection would be that whenever you were here, you were basically saying that your friend and your former professor of yours who once taught you at the University of Chicago, that you oppose the war in Iraq.
Right.
But where if you're going to fight the war on terror, it has to be in Afghanistan.
That's right.
So my question to you is, as someone who generally would like to find a way, you know, not to have to send troops anywhere.
Right.
What is your reaction to what the president is expected to say Tuesday night at West Point?
Well, I should start with what I understand the president's expected to say, which is this is a war of necessity. Our enemies, al-Qaeda, are being harbored by the Taliban. That's where they launched their attacks from. And that was the first war that we launched after 9/11, and that's where we need to finish the job that should have been finished years ago. And if that's what he is expected to say, which is my understanding, I think that's entirely consistent with what he's been saying for 3 years. And it sure makes a lot of sense to me that where our enemies live and where a regime exists that harbors our enemies, that's something that we can't allow to continue.
Chris Voronis is our card-carrying Republican tonight. Your reaction to Dan's reaction?
Well, I'm not sure what the president is expected to decide. This seems like deja vu all over again. When he entered the presidency in March, he announced a comprehensive plan for Afghanistan that involved counterinsurgency, which was very thoughtfully deliberated, consulted with many people, the Afghans, military, and then here we are again. What happened to the original Obama Afghanistan plan that he announced in March?
Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, let's pick up on that question or point that Chris just made.
Well, first, it has been an awfully long time. I don't understand why. I never begrudge the president for taking time to make a serious decision, and I think he was quite right in saying, in effect, that Bush made these decisions in such a snap way. On the other hand, this has been a very long time, and he appointed his own guy when he brought in McChrystal in April. He appointed him precisely to do the plan that McChrystal ginned up. I should say, however, that Barack Obama was really dealt a bad hand here. I blame the Bush administration. The Bush administration made a total hash out of this.
And Obama does too.
Obama has not covered himself in glory. I completely agree with that. But we had a chance to take out Osama bin Laden. We subcontracted that to local Afghans, and the other side paid them more than we did. We now know that he got away then. We didn't pay any attention to the follow-up there. We diverted our resources to Iraq.
But again, one point about yes. Because there have been some that have said, you know, what took the president so long to make this decision?
I agree with that.
He listened, but we also yes. have to think have put it in context that when there was a discussion about a surge in Iraq,
right.
George Bush didn't move fast on that at all. He labored for months before he decided to do it.
And it's worth remembering that Obama opposed it. Obama opposed it and was wrong to oppose it. And I think one of the big issues—
But now he hasn't acknowledged. He hasn't acknowledged that, but he's done it. Question to you, Dan. Those colleagues of you progressives on the political left, I mean,
right.
how much leeway are they going to give him? Because this was someone, although they may have heard Barack Obama— say everything you said about Afghanistan.
Right.
I don't think many of them are very happy that 30,000 more troops are going to go. And that's the figure that's being used. Up to 40,000. McChrystal wants 40. At least the speculation is 30. I want to find out from you,
sure.
What are your friends in the liberal community saying about this, and how many of them are really, frankly, at this moment, ticked off at the president? We'll do that when we come back. 1-800-723-8029 from coast to coast and border to border. I want to get your reaction to the president's decision. If you could whisper in his ear anything right now before he makes that speech Tuesday night, what would you whisper? What would you tell him? More troops? No troops? What would you say? 1-800-723-8029 from Chicago. I'm Bruce Jubart.
Announcing the Ally Bank online savings account with a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account with a great rate. Compare rates for yourself at allybank.com or call Ally at 877-247-ALLY. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment and quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries, because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell, trusted everywhere.
From Bakersfield, California to Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway on America's great radio stations as well as Sirius XM satellite radio. Before the breakout, I asked Dan Johnston-Weinberger, those colleagues and friends of yours in the progressive community who, they generally don't like the idea of war. They don't like the idea generally of sending more troops. There are some, you know, in the Congress that are probably going to ask a few more hardball questions when they go before Congress later this week. What are your friends saying about this?
Well, I think, the sense is more anticipation right now. We don't know what the president's going to say. And I think progressives typically don't like a bigger military presence and typically think we don't do enough diplomacy. But Barack hasn't had, this is the first time Barack's really making the case that, like he's been saying, we've got a real enemy. And the tool that we need to use at our disposal is the biggest military in the world.
Why is it that whenever we have a real enemy and we send troops out to fight our wars, not just this one, but previous wars, one of the other questions that always is out there, as it is in Afghanistan, there's some corrupt government in place. I mean, no one's happy with what's happening on the ground with the people that we're trying to help. Charles.
That's exactly the case, and we know hanging over all of this, I've got to say, is the issue of Vietnam. And the corruption of the local government was one of the big issues in Vietnam. And in fact, we supported a coup and an assassination of one of the corrupt leaders there, tried to put in our own people. It didn't work. There was a lot of problems there. The problem is, in the end, if your strategy is about protecting the local people and building an affirmative presence on the ground with the local government, you need a partner you can rely on, not one that's looking to put whose local police is essentially a little mafia organization that's all about selling drugs on the open market, and that actually people can look to the Taliban, bad as it is often less corrupt than the local government. It just makes McChrystal's job and our job as Americans that much harder.
Chris, is there any win here for you as you see it? Is there a win? Is there a win in Afghanistan? If the president does what we expect him to do, send more troops, or if he pulls out, is there any way where there can be a win in Afghanistan as you see it?
The only way, the reason why we're in a much different situation in Iraq is because of Petraeus. He knew the politics, he knew the culture, he had the strategy. We gave it a chance.
Eventually. Eventually, he had the strategy.
Eventually.
Take two.
It worked. It worked. Now we're with McChrystal. As you say, Obama's handpicked guy. The person himself who recommended 30,000 to 40,000 troops, which Obama balked at. I think if there's any win, it's going to be closest to the people who are on the ground, and that's McChrystal. And we ought to listen to them. And if that's what Obama comes out and says, I would have confidence in that.
Supposedly part of this is that the president wants our allies to make up the difference between the 30 and 40,000. This is based on some of the reporting that has gone on today. And yet you have, France, they're not going to send anybody else. NATO, which obviously is the device through which these troops would come. I mean, they've never fought a war. I mean, everyone is reluctant, and they're reluctant because the hometown or the home country domestic politics, the people in their countries don't want it. The Canadians are pulling people out. The British have 500 people there. The Germans don't want to send anybody else. So we're looking to our allies. We're looking to our allies to help to come up with 10,000. They're not going to come up with 10,000.
They're not going to come up with very many people. And if they do, what they'll do is have them out of harm's way doing local training and that sort of thing. I think that this is a really hard case. And looming over all of this is the memory of Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson had a very domestic a very aggressive domestic set of policies, the Great Society.
Right.
They were really all about civil rights, but also about enlarging the government and providing a social safety net. That was ultimately undermined by a costly, non-winning war in Vietnam, a war that was ultimately lost and that drove a stake into the heart of American domestic society. And
the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. And I think that the question that you posed to Dan goes to the Democratic Party today, but I think hanging over all of this is the memory of Vietnam, the memory of Lyndon Johnson. We've got a president with a very aggressive domestic agenda, and I think he doesn't want to see it undermined.
We have to go to calls. Let's go to Eduardo listening to us on our flagship station, WLS Radio in Chicago. Go ahead, Eduardo.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, I agree. I don't think we should be sending more troops. This is going to be $30 million, which should be going to
$30 billion.
$30 billion.
And they're going to be raising taxes on people who don't have jobs. How else are we going to be paying for these wars?
Well, that's one thing, Eduardo, that some of the progressives in Congress have been raising, that if we're going to spend $30 billion, because it's about $1 million a troop, that's how much it costs. So with 30,000, that's, $30 billion. And what some progressives in Congress have been saying is we need to pay for it. We need a war surtax.
David Obey, the head of the Appropriations Committee.
Yeah. So
is that a good idea?
I think so.
The other part of this, which I think is it's not part of the debate that we had when we led up to the war in Iraq or the war in Afghanistan or in the wake of 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the, in my view, It is in a singular way the biggest mistake that George Bush made. And I know Democrats are quick to point out there's a long list. I'm not saying it's the only mistake.
You're saying it's a top one. This is a big moment.
But I'm saying this is the biggest one.
Right.
And I think that although his speech was in the wake of 9/11, there were aspects of it that were soaring and it brought people to rally around the flag as they did. But what he did not do is the issue of shared sacrifice.
Yeah.
And without shared sacrifice, whether you're fighting a war in Afghanistan, a war on terror, a war in Iraq, I mean, I hope that on Tuesday night there is some element of shared sacrifice. And whether it is a war tax, so those people who support the war will put their money where their mouth is,
right,
whether that's part of it, or whether we have to ration, we've got to do something. But again, this is
I don't think that's the biggest issue, Bruce. I think the biggest issue on Tuesday night.
Well, that's not the biggest issue Tuesday night.
I understand what you're saying.
But I'm saying I don't think a president, any president, or any member of Congress, I don't think that we can turn our backs on this.
Because Bush did the opposite. He's the only president to go to war and cut taxes on the wealthy, which put us even deeper into debt. So I think that the reason for a war surtax or something like
that. But there's no draft.
I think that the biggest issue that faces Obama politically is that he has to sell this strategy. And I've got to say, as eloquent as everybody says Obama is, he's never sold anything but himself. There's never been a policy that he has succeeded in selling to the American public, and I think Dan has underestimated
healthcare in the House.
No,
has climate change in the House.
He
has the stimulus bill, which had economic growth in the third quarter.
He has not built
stimulus is law. Chris.
Wait a minute. He has not built large public support.
Absolutely, the stimulus is working.
He's not built large public support for his policies. That's what I'm saying.
Majority of people support the health reform bill.
He has talked about these bills for a very long time without moving the needle of support on virtually any of his policies. And what I'm saying to you,
Republicans don't support
I'm saying no, it's not just that. He's lost the independence that gave him the election. The intermediate Democrats, the middle of the road Democrats, know this. And what I'm telling you is that he's got two challenges coming. One, he's got to show a commitment and move the needle on not just this, but a number of his other issues. And secondly, I think he's going to have a lot more problems than you're saying with your wing of the party, because I don't see any way that he gets public health a public option on health care. He's going to be sending troops in, and the policy that they've advanced toward Iran, the diplomacy option, has clearly failed. And he's either going to give up on that, or he's going to have to escalate the tensions there. And I see that creating real problems on your wing of the party.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the truth is the number one job, which the president said, and I think we'd all agree, is not foreign policy, but it's the economy. And I think clearly the stimulus has been successful at raising economic growth and lessening the unemployment, which would have been much worse without it.
Well, he's convinced
we have
you,
the jobs
but nobody
bill,
else.
Well, economists.
Lessening the unemployment? Unemployment
oh, absolutely. We would have had hundreds of thousands of teachers and cops laid off because every state budget would have been far worse than it otherwise.
Well, the 29th district of Arizona is doing
absolutely.
Great, but
I mean,
that's another right. whole show. Let's go back. Let's focus on our topic of this evening. Let's go back.
But I'm saying he's got to sell that program.
Oh, no,
right. He's got to sell that.
No, I certainly agree with that. He has to sell it to the American people collectively.
Right.
He has to sell it to the progressive wing of the Democratic Party that is important to him politically.
Right.
And most importantly, in my view, or he's got to sell it to the allies because he's now, you know, the leader of the free world. So everybody's going to be watching. And I think he also has to sell it to the people in Afghanistan that it's a good idea. He's got to say, he's got four audiences he's got to deal with. Let's go to Shirley. Well, he can sell it to yourself first. Let's go to we're going to break and then we're going to go to take another call. 1-800-723-8029. We're talking about the president's decision. It's coming up on Tuesday night, and it'll be obviously on coast to coast all over the country and give you an opportunity to respond this evening to what would you be whispering in the president's ear? What do you want him to say Tuesday night at West Point? I'm back. I'm Bruce Dumont. Back shortly.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-922-4074. That's 1-800-922-4074. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-922-4074. That's 1-800-922-4074.
From Youngstown, Ohio to Austin, Texas, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Our progressive liberal tonight is Dan Johnson Weinberger. He's a regular guest on this program. He is a lobbyist for progressive causes, has his own firm, graduate of the University of Chicago Law School, also went to the University of Illinois. And when he was at the University of Chicago, one of his professors was Professor Barack Obama.
Good
and
grade.
A regular
Good
law.
Grade. Hey.
Hey. Hey. Hey. All right. Hey.
Okay.
So
Made
we know. Happen. All right. We know why he's supporting
That's
him.
That's right. Payback time.
It's the usual brown nose problem here.
Chris Veronis also joined us. He is our card-carrying
doctor.
Chris Veronis is our card-carrying Republican, and he is a professional public relations executive when he's not on the radio. And he used to debate, at least in the pages of the Daily Illini, when he was an undergraduate at the University of Chicago, University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. You used to debate your colleague this evening, Dan Johnson Weinberger. So you guys have known each other a long, long time, but you've always been on the opposite side of the political fence, as you are tonight. And our third guest this evening is the pride of Marks, Mississippi. He is Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, where he has been a professor for how many years?
Over 30.
Over 30 years.
Over 30. I'm getting up to the highest hourly wage.
And what's the primary area of focus? What are your classes generally about now?
I teach mostly international relations. I'm teaching a course this year on something that is history for my students, the Cold War. And then,
so was Vietnam.
Yes, exactly. No, they were all born well after all of this. They can't remember Reagan. But I'm going to teach a course in the winter. I like to teach on different things. I'm going to teach a course in the winter called Core Western Values, freedom of speech, human autonomy, things like that, because I feel like our students need to really understand and appreciate what's unique about the Western world.
And the winter that would be a good time to teach about the Cold War.
Well, in fact, it's interesting. One of the teaching assistants
that was a joke.
In the class.
That was a joke.
Thank you.
A joke.
One of the teaching assistants.
I just want to make sure it didn't fly over your head.
I'm humorless, Bruce. One of the teaching assistants in the class, though, his parents were refuseniks, and it's really interesting. So when we talk about these things, he can remember as a child, you know, getting out of Russia. So it adds something interesting.
We're going to go to calls. Back to Youngstown, Ohio. Morris is listening to us on WKBN, the Big 57, one of our oldest affiliates. Nice to hear from you, Morris. Go ahead.
And good to hear you tonight, Bruce. I just wanted to say I am still an Obama supporter, but I would say if I could whisper in his ear, as you said earlier, and by the way, I hate to admit it, but I'm 100% in agreement with your Republican tonight, because I don't think the president has sold anything except himself, as he said earlier, because I think if you look at the health care debate and how he was on television on every network almost, and he still couldn't make people believe in this thing any more than they do. The believers believe, and those that don't believe won't believe, because there's not enough meat on the bone as far as they're concerned. I look at this guy sometime, and I wonder. They used to make a big deal about Bush being in a bubble. I wonder if the president, the current president, is not in a bubble.
So what would you whisper to him? What would you whisper?
I would whisper to him, as the Clinton administration won with the slogan, "It's the economy, stupid." I think let's get back to business. I think there are a lot of people out there who are hurting, the 16 million or more who are unemployed, and they see what's going on with the banks and all this stuff. I've been a beneficiary of this administration because I'm also a General Motors employee. So I'm glad that I still have a job, but I think there's a lot of people out there that are wondering.
So does that mean pull the troops out?
Afghanistan is a no-win situation because it was ignored so long. And now, as you brought out earlier, a lot of the allies are starting to bail on us.
So does that mean we pull the troops out if it's the economy,
you know,
stupid?
The thing is, right next door to Afghanistan is Pakistan with nukes. So what do we do? I mean, I'm serious. I'd hate to have his job.
This is why this is such a difficult topic. When you link Afghanistan, the war on terror, and the war on Iraq, and everybody's concerned, and I think everybody, certainly at this table, would probably say, of all the fears, you've got the fear of Pakistan, what they will do with their nuclear weapons, and then you have the fear about with Iran, whether they're going to get their nuclear weapons. I mean, we are at a time now where we can't walk away from anything, at least in my view, and especially at a time, and this is what this is why the job of President of the United States is the toughest job in the world, because you can't focus on just one thing. You have to focus almost equally on five or six other things that the president must address.
That's true.
And again, in the middle of all this, again, you've got issues of employment and doing the best job that you can, again, with a Congress that is not 100% for you, although they should be a little more cooperative than they apparently have
been
in the
past. Our caller raised a really critical issue, and I think that with the economy not performing well, and despite Dan's point about the stimulus, I think most people feel that the Federal Reserve saved us from the abyss, but that the stimulus has provided at most kind of weak support, so that there hasn't been enough focus there. But I think that the issue on foreign policy now, while you can't focus on everything, you do have to have an overarching strategy. And I would say that the president's overarching strategy is in deep trouble. That is, his basic strategy has been engage diplomatically and hope that by opening talks with your enemies, you actually gain some genuine concessions. We've not only not gained anything in Iran, they are now pushing it all back in our face and have now just said that they're going to open a whole lot more uranium enrichment. The Chinese have given us almost nothing. So we're not getting very much for all of this new strategy. So while it's true the president has to focus on a lot of things, what should hold it together is an overarching strategy, and I don't see that working.
Dan, your reaction to what Charles just said?
Well, look, first,
as it relates to the stimulus and everything else.
I think the caller's point is that most people want the president to focus on the economy, and I think the president is doing everything in his power. I think turning around a lot of the policies of the Bush administration is the right thing. I think most people think if we didn't have the stimulus and we had incredible cutbacks with state and local governments, and anybody that's involved in any state government will say the only reason we weren't laying off tens of thousands of teachers in Illinois is because of that stimulus money. And now people are saying we need a second one because we're facing another wave of state budgets that are, and here in Illinois, we're $11-12 billion in the hole. So to think that the stimulus didn't save our, you know, hundreds of thousands of jobs nationwide, I think is folly.
But part of the frustration, I think, with that's out there in the body politic, yeah. And I think the frustration is with the president, it's with Congress, it's with Republicans, it's with Democrats, it's with governmental competence. I think the anger that is out there, mm-hmm. and again, you know, the lack of confidence started in the Bush administration. A lot of people thought that Obama was going to be able to stop it. But he hasn't been able to stop it because the questions of stimulus money that was sent out with so little of the stimulus money that has even been used thus far indicates that a real plan to release the information was not out. Just one of the stories in the paper today was there's $75 billion to deal with, with a plan for people who are having trouble with people paying their mortgages. They announced today that they want to push that. They want to speed that up because so little of that money has been used. Mm-hmm. So the question is, they make a commitment. Okay, we're going to pour a lot of money into this project, and then it takes so long to implement the project, you're not getting the benefit of what they want to do. So it raises the question, and I think it's a legitimate question, is on certain things, mm-hmm. is the Obama administration any more competent than the Bush administration? And what we have here, and just I want to give you a chance to comment on it.
Yeah,
I mean, the absurdity of their own reporting in the last couple of weeks about money going to congressional districts that don't exist to create jobs that never happened. I mean, if that had happened on George Bush's watch, I mean, that's all the American newspapers would be talking about. That's all. I mean, that was a bigger screw up, in my view, than anything that happened on the Bush, Bush's incompetence, including Katrina.
Well, I wouldn't say anything would come close to the incompetence of Katrina, where people died. I mean, that one I think is a totally different topic. But to your bigger point, I think there's some frustration about the stimulus because it is in fact difficult to spend the amount of money that the biggest recession since the Depression requires and create and develop new programs at the same time. And the reality is, government is slower than we'd like it to be. And I'm involved in trying to move some of this stimulus money on the high-speed rail piece, for example.
Right.
That money hasn't been spent yet. They're going to announce it in January, 11
Not
months
very
afterwards.
High speed, huh?
Right? But the reality is, if you want to have the biggest long-term impact you can, sometimes you need to be thoughtful and get a bunch of stakeholders to have their input into that process too, or you can spend it in a more sloppy way. So it is frustrating to say that, I mean, the stimulus that went out immediately were the tax cuts for most working people, which went directly into people's FICA, withholding,
right,
which really helped a lot. Plus, a lot of the Medicaid money that went directly into the state budgets, plus a lot of the education money, which went directly into the state budgets. And by the way, talking about Barack's administration having an impact on really Republican kind of stuff, the race to the top stuff, and forcing standards to be raised, forcing caps on charter schools to be lifted, forcing data to be used for tenure evaluations. That stuff is moving state policy all around the country because of that stimulus money. So there is real impact. But it is hard, to Charles' point, it's hard to see because it's cutbacks that never happened in the state government. And it's like the caller from Youngstown who says, well, gee, I want Obama to work faster. But, gee, I guess I am happy since he almost single-handedly saved General Motors and, moved the car industry through its biggest crisis in 50 years. I'm glad I still got a job, but I want him to do more.
Yeah, well the other thing is, Morris used the word focus. And my point was a president cannot exclusively focus on one issue.
It's too
big a job. 1-800-723-8029. We'll get Chris's response and another call when we come back.
Recalculating route.
What's up with this GPS?
You need to finish your holiday shopping.
Right. I doubt Michelle would want another spice rack.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back.
I can get Michelle that new camera, plus 3% cash back for me. Hey, how do you know so much?
My brother's a Chase ATM.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back at computer and electronic stores, discount stores, and bookstores. Just sign up at chase.com/freedom. Chase, what matters.
Chase cards issued by Chase Bank USA NA and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
Okay, that's $11.96. Whoa, what are you doing?
What? I'm giving you cash.
But you're pulling the little guy apart.
Oh, this? No, it's just the money I'm saving with Geico.
But he's the sack of money with the googly eyes. He has a face.
Yeah, but he's money. And now I'm spending it. Here, take a bill.
Oh, actually, that didn't seem to hurt him at all.
No, we do this all the time.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, and before we get back to the discussion, let me mention for those within the sound of my voice listening to us on our flagship station, WLS Radio, don't forget that on December 5th, Bill Jackson, one of the legendary icons of Chicago television, he will be coming to the Lake Theater in Oak Park, and tickets are available. It's going to be from 10 in the morning until noon. And if you're interested, tickets are available. You can go to museum.tv, or if you would prefer to make a call, the number is 312-822-0512. That's 312-822-0512. There's only a handful of tickets left. And Bill Jackson, he's going to be there with all of his puppets, Dirty Dragon and Weird and Harold. And, yes, the Blob will be there. And if you're of a certain generation and you grew up in Chicago, you know what a tremendous talent that Bill Jackson is. And he's also mentioned this is a benefit for the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And he has said that this is his last appearance in Chicago. He's not going to make any more appearances. It's not just a bunch of talking heads. It's a real live appearance by Bill Jackson in person. So if he's part of your life, you can be part of his life. A wonderful event coming up on Saturday, December 5th, Saturday morning with Bill Jackson at the Lake Theater in Oak Park, Illinois. And now let's go back to calls. Let's go to Shirley, listening to us in Hinsdale, Illinois. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Shirley speaking. I feel well qualified to speak about this issue. I have a family member who has served 2 tours of duty in Iraq. I also have family members who work for the European Union. I called President Obama's office, and I told him what he needs to do and what many Americans, as well as many Europeans, expect him to do. That is, he needs to pull all of our troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq. In the meantime, what he needs to do is, we have already paid for, as taxpayers, many bombers and many nuclear weapons. We have now reached a point in time like we did in World War II, is we need to do it's like Hiroshima-Nagasaki deal, and it's like the Germans feel that if we bombed Dresden, it's like relentlessly, they're not going to send their people over there, and they just feel if we did it to Dresden, we should do it to the Middle East, and the French feel the same way. And I will tell you this, having family who works with the diplomatic corps there, do not underestimate the Europeans. When they're sitting there very calmly speaking diplomacy, stirring their little teacups in Vienna, and my boyfriend's great-grandfather was prime minister, like of Austria, prior to World War One. They are making plans for war. The same things go for the, it's like Israeli. The Israelis. They plan on a strike somewhere in the Middle East by next summer at the very latest. It is not all about us. If we can't get it together, other countries are going to do what we're not going to do.
So you're not suggesting, Shirley, that we drop nuclear weapons in the Middle East, are you? Because, you know,
Let's,
that's the way it sounded, Shirley. So I want to clarify what you said as well.
Yes.
Yes. The job.
Let me tell you something. 1 year before the first Persian Gulf War, I knew what was going to happen before people here knew what was going to happen. It's because I have family members who work and they rent their homes to the top generals in Europe. I'm not going to say any more.
Well, you've said a lot, and under the term "loose lips sink ships," I mean, you may have given a world strategy away here. But again, I don't mean to diminish your comments, but I think that it is a suggestion that's pretty far afield that the way to resolve this situation is to drop nuclear weapons somewhere in the Middle East.
All you have to do is look at the Israeli website. It's been there under the Israeli news.
The Israelis are not contemplating using nuclear weapons either.
Let me
say a couple.
Thank you very much for calling from Hinsdale.
Let me say a couple of things. The first thing is that it is one of the great and unexpected achievements in world politics that nuclear weapons have not been used since August of 1945. It turns out that the main use that nuclear weapons have is not to compel anything or even to destroy anything, but to deter bad things from happening by the threat of destruction. And let's all hope that's exactly what remains to be the case. But the United States is not contemplating their use in the Middle East. And as far as I know, the Israelis aren't either.
Let's go to BJ, who's listening to us in South Bend, Indiana on WSBT. Nice to hear from Indiana tonight. Go ahead, BJ.
Thank you. Good topic. If I may, I'd like to preference my call with George Washington's quote, General Washington, President Washington, father of our country.
Yep.
He said that there's two keys to a strong America. Number one, keep strong American borders, Washington said. And he also said, stay out of other countries' wars and squabbles, which leads me to my question to your guest there. I was on the DOD.gov website, Department of Defense website, which states that America has a military presence in 137 countries. Wonder where your tax dollars are going, folks. Why? I guess my question is, why?
Okay. On that particular point, we are out of discussion for hour number one. It's a good way to start the discussion in the next hour. So if you are watching this program on television, you'll see that discussion in the not-too-distant future. And if you're by your radio on highways and byways and on the great radio stations of America, and you're going to be sticking with us for the next hour on radio, we're going to pick up on that topic, continue to talk about what you would whisper in Barack Obama's ear before his speech Tuesday night at West Point. Our guests will continue. I'm Bruce Dumont. We hope you'll continue as well.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-922-4074. That's 1-800-922-4074. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-922-4074. That's 1-800-922-4074.
Recalculating route.
What's up with this GPS?
You need to finish your holiday shopping.
Right. I doubt Michelle would want another spice rack.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back.
I can get Michelle that new camera, plus 3% cash back for me. Hey, how do you know so much?
My brother's a Chase ATM.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back at computer and electronic stores, discount stores, and bookstores. Just sign up at chase.com/freedom. Chase, what matters.
Chase cards issued by Chase Bank USA NA and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
A car accident is bad enough, so that's why Geico makes it easy to file a claim. You can do it online or over the phone. Then you go to geico.com to track your claim, view photos of the damage, or print an estimate. And for as long as you own your car, repairs are guaranteed when you use a Geico recommended repair shop. Geico's easy peasy lemon squeezy claim service, they call it. Okay, it's just me that calls it that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment and quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries, because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell, trusted everywhere.
I'm Felix. I've been doing tattoos for over 15 years. I get people in here who ask me about removing a tattoo they don't want anymore. I've really had nothing to help. And then I discovered Wrecking Balm. It's an easy daily fading system. The darkest, deepest pigments, they easily fade without any discoloring, blemishing, or scarring the skin. Wrecking Balm is really the best thing for tattoo regret.
Call right now, 1-800-507-4221. For your in-home 60-day risk-free trial, that's 1-800-507-4221. That's 1-800-507-4221.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. We continue with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics. Tonight featuring our Republican, Chris Voronis, our Democrat, Dan Johnson-Weinberger, and Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. Our phone lines remain open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, our email address is btb@museum.tv, btb@museum.tv. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, www.beyondthebeltway.com. And in the first hour, we were talking about the president's speech to the nation from West Point this coming Tuesday night, when he's going to announce his strategy and his plan for Afghanistan. All the preliminary reports indicate that he will be adding 30,000 more troops. That is 10,000 less than what Stanley McChrystal, his advisor for Afghanistan, has allegedly asked for. Currently, there are 68,000 troops already in Afghanistan. And you may recall that Barack Obama, as a candidate, and Barack Obama now as president of the United States, has said that, in his view, the central battlefront in the war on terror is in Afghanistan. Because as Afghanistan goes, so goes Pakistan and much of that region. So we're talking about that, and we've taken a number of calls, and I've asked everybody if you had an opportunity to have a conversation or whisper in the president's ear between now and Tuesday night, what would you whisper to him? Would you be encouraging him? Would you be telling him to consider other things? So that's the opinion that we're looking for tonight at 1-800-723-8289. Another part of this is what can we really hope to get from our allies? How good are they? When times are really down, how do our allies, primarily Europeans, but Canadians as well, Australians, I mean, who can we really count on in the world? And in our last hour, we received a call from a gentleman by the name of BJ out in South Bend, Indiana, and he raised the question that, based on his research, he found that U.S. forces are currently involved in 137 countries or stationed. There are troops stationed, or there's some participation in 137 countries. And quoted George Washington as saying that we should make American borders strong and stay out of other countries. And that leads – I promised him that would sort of lead off our second hour. So I've set the stage, and 137 countries is an awful lot, if that indeed is the factual number, but it's probably pretty close to that. And Charles Lipson, your response to to what BJ was saying. And is it possible in the 21st century where this country is it possible for us to pull back and pull back and pull back and move forward with some form of an isolationist foreign policy?
I don't think so, but let me say something. First, let me thank BJ for bringing up Washington's point. Washington made that in one of the great speeches in American history, which was a farewell address. He didn't actually make it as a speech. He wrote it out, and it was published, but it was his farewell address. And it occurred, he said, we shouldn't have entangling alliances with the Europeans. And that all made sense during the period in which we had a great moat in front of us, the Atlantic Ocean, and it took a long time to get across it. What we learned in World Wars I and II was that even if we weren't involved in Europe before the war, our interests would get so deeply involved if things went wrong there that we would have to come in later. And so our biggest decision after World War II in the late 1940s was to form NATO and to stay permanently in Europe, both to keep the Soviets from invading, but also to stabilize Europe domestically and make them into both our military allies and our trading partners. The problem is, after 9/11, that I think that we don't have a clear sense of how and where we should be involved in the world. The current president has not used the words war on terror, so it's unclear what exactly we're even fighting against out there.
In the campaign, one of the things that Barack Obama said, in addition to saying that Afghanistan was the central point in the war on terror, is when he was using that term during the campaign when he was seeking votes. But one of the other things that he promised, he said, it's going to be a new day. People around the world are allies. They don't respect the United States like they used to, and primarily they don't respect the President of the United States. And again, they would then castigate George Bush in the next sentences. You certainly have done more than your share on this program,
sure.
Being the progressive voice that you are in this program.
He was like a
pinata. The other thing that was part of that was that we were electing a rock star. We were electing the most popular politician in the world. He was going to make the grand tour. He was going to be treated differently. Everybody was going to react differently. And yet, when we ask the Russians for a favor, we don't get it. When we ask the Chinese for a favor, we don't get it. When we try to reach out and perform somewhat of an olive branch to Iran, we get slapped in the face. And this most popular American president in Europe, probably since Eisenhower, he is asking for 10,000 troops from umpteen countries. And all of our European allies, our alleged friends in NATO, in the framework which was built and put together for cases just like this, they're telling them to go fly a kite. I mean, how differently would they have responded to George Bush? What is the difference, Dan?
Well, I think that I think a central point is that, going back to BJ's point, I think we're in far too many countries with a military presence. It's really expensive that we taxpayers have to pick up. And I think the hope is that Afghanistan and al-Qaeda, it's not America's problem. It's sort of the Western world's problem. And it's really the civilized world's problem, that there's a terrorist organization that we need to destroy.
If you think he doesn't like the global war on terrorism, try using the word civilized world.
Well, it's true, right? People that attack other people and kill other innocents, that's a problem to defeat. And our allies in Europe, Bruce, to your point, you're absolutely right. Our allies need to be a full partner in.
And what do you do if they don't do it?
But they're right? Not. We have a salesman that they love. I mean, his popularity is probably higher in Europe today than it is even in the United States.
I even saw it when I was traveling overseas recently, popularly on the street. You know, people like Obama. They understand him and they see a difference. But the reality is it makes for good campaign sound bites, what the Obama people said about Bush, but it's not the basis for foreign policy. because every nation is savagely self-interested. Just because you elect a citizen of the world as president of the United States isn't going to change their self-interest, whether you're Russia or China. And you see that, as Chuck pointed out, with Iran right now, where you're seeing no progress with the talks, a retrenchment, if anything. So the other point to address that's important, too, and you always see this in moments, grave moments of historical consequence, the retrenchment attitude. We need to scale back. We need to bring the troops home. You cannot quantify how much death, misery, and expense we have foregone by maintaining those commitments overseas, wherever they are, those 137 nations.
And when you say we, you mean United States citizens.
The world.
The world.
The world.
We don't get a lot.
Back shortly from Chicago.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment and quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries, because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell, trusted everywhere.
Recalculating route.
What's up with this GPS?
You need to finish your holiday shopping.
Right. I doubt Michelle would want another spice rack.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back.
I can get Michelle that new camera, plus 3% cash back for me. Hey, how do you know so much?
My brother's a Chase ATM.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back at computer and electronic stores, discount stores, and bookstores. Just sign up at chase.com/freedom. Chase, what matters.
Chase cards issued by Chase Bank USA NA and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
Seattle, Washington to Youngstown, Ohio. You're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. For those listening within the sound of my voice on WLS Radio in Chicago on Tuesday night, when the president addresses the nation, I will be anchoring the post-speech reaction show up until 9 o'clock Central Time. So wherever you're listening, whether it's on WLS or you're hearing this on respective stations all over the country, again, there will be a place for you. Your local station may be offering an instant reaction show as well, but there will be one on WLS out of Chicago, and I'll be hosting it. And then that is this coming Tuesday night from 7 to 9 o'clock Central Time, when the president will address the nation at West Point. Let's go to Frank, listening to us in St. Charles on WLS. Go ahead, Frank. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Love the show. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you. Nice to have you with us.
Guys, I really enjoyed the comment was made earlier by one of your guests there about this administration hasn't used the war on terror words or particularly defined anything. I do remember during the campaign, it was, and I'm paraphrasing, make no mistake, he's going to get us out of Iraq. And that's dramatically changed. I guess one of my points is your guest said that it was kind of complicated, and it certainly is when we don't act like the republic that we are. I'm not sure what country we are currently at war with or is on our current roster that meets the criteria of a direct threat to the United States to go to war like we used to under a declaration of war outlined through the Constitution that would, you know, go through our Congress. We've lost our way.
I think that you've put your finger on one of the big issues of debate in the country, actually. This is Charles Lipson, and I think you're wrong in saying that President Obama is not living up to his commitments on Iraq. I think he's drawing down. This may be a little slower than he initially said, but he said he was going to move us out. He wasn't going to do it in a precipitous way, and he's doing exactly what he said. But I think that the issue that you're raising about terrorism and that sort of thing is exactly the kind of debate that the country is going to have, because we all know that you really can't develop Afghanistan. It's never going to be much of a democracy. It's a tribal state. It's very poor. What are our goals there? And in the tribal areas of Pakistan, our goal there is very simple. We do not want terrorists to set up bases there that can strike us and our interests anywhere else. That's our goal and nothing more.
You know, Frank, one thing that your point about, you know, when did the Congress of the United States or the American people accept from the Congress of the United States, and I don't mean this Congress, I mean previous Congresses, that significant wars would be waged without a declaration of war.
Right.
And in the case of war against Germany and war against Japan, those were obviously easy calls because the American people were politically, they were irate, they were charged up, they were ready to go. They sacrificed in lives and they changed the way that they lived because they were all, it was all for one and one for all.
I can tell you when that
happened.
And
by the way, I want to give you
June 1950.
All right, I want to tell you more, but my point is that those same conditions that riled up the American people against Germany and in Japan, they were riled up on September 11th, and they were riled up ultimately. The first target was Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So many of the conditions, you know, whereas the country did not take its eye off the ball with Germany until Japan decided to butt in a big way. The United States, I think, you know, having not focused like a laser beam on Afghanistan, as some progressives have suggested, I mean, there is something to be said for that. It was a decision, however, that Iraq also was a significant problem out there, just as we fought a two-theater war in World War II. We were fighting the Germans in Europe. We were fighting the Japanese. So the United States of America, we have a track record of being able to fight two wars at once, and that's basically what we're doing right now.
We did take our eye off the ball with regard to Germany. Germany invaded Poland September of 1939. We did not do anything. They all went all the way through almost to conquer Russia. Had they done so, they would have been almost unbeatable. We only went to war with Germany after Pearl Harbor, and 3 days after that, Hitler declared war on us. That's why we went to war with them. And so we did lose our focus. Thank goodness that we have more engagement now. One of the people you were asking when we stopped declaring war, and I can tell you almost to the day, we in late June 1950, when North Korea invaded South Korea, we decided we would put in troops and stop them, and the Congress agreed with that. Harry Truman not only didn't ask for a declaration of war, he didn't even ask for a resolution of support. So when that war went south, the Congress said, hey, we're not in this. So it has been a mistake. The final point I want to make, Bruce, is that one of your earlier callers said we were in something like 130 countries. That's misleading. We do have a global presence, but in nearly all of those countries, and probably over 100, all we have is something like an airfield and a few people there. We have a presence where if an alliance needs us to airlift a lot of troops in and do something, we can do it quickly, but we don't have a lot of people on the ground.
And one other part of just the history lesson that we've gone through here is when we go to war, when America goes to war, for those people who don't like the idea of leaving troops at all in Iraq or Afghanistan, the MO of what we do is we leave large numbers of troops behind. The reason why we have, you know, 30,000 troops still at the DMZ almost over 50 years later, and we're in Germany, is because those are the countries that we waged war against. And by having U.S. troops there, we hopefully, at least our policy has been, that there's never been another war. And that peace through strength or peace through a military presence, that has worked. Right. And again, so anyone who's listening to the program this evening, there's going to be American troops in Iraq and in Afghanistan for as long as you live and as long as your grandchildren live.
But they're not being shot at in those places.
Right. But there's going to be there. So any politician that comes along anytime, regardless of what their stripe is, and says, we're going to bring the boys home from these battlefields, it's not going to happen.
Except, of course, but you'd concede, Bruce, that most of the active troops are being pulled back from Iraq and they're getting shifted over to Afghanistan.
There will
always be some huge military presence in Iraq. But the numbers are going down in a significant way.
I understand that. But what I'm my point is, I believe that during the campaign, one of the, part of what Barack Obama was saying, and maybe even more importantly, part of what people were hearing Barack Obama say was, oh, my heavens, if I vote for Barack Obama, he said the first thing he's going to do is bring the generals in and tell them how we're going to get the troops out. And when they think about that, they, all the troops, not 40,000, not 20,000, not 5,000, the troops were going to be gone. I think a lot of people thought that.
You may be right.
And the reality is no politician should ever say that to the American people because it's not true.
But
it's
here,
not going to happen.
And then here's the bigger picture question, I think, which goes into the conversation about what our allies are going to do, which I think Barack is trying
Nada.
To. Right. Well, this is now a global conversation because given, you know, in the 50s, we were the economic superpower. Europe was in rubble. Japan was in rubble. Well, now the European Union is in many ways economically superior to the United States. Asia is, you know, dominant. India's coming up strong. So why is it now, a global conversation, time for us to pay for the presence in 137 countries? Why is it on our dime that we're the
you
ones
should write a letter
for
to Barack Obama,
everyone
Dan,
in Germany today with 30,000 troops
supposedly
in Germany?
He's got
because
the magic,
American pre-
magic
because
answer,
the Amer-
right?
That's because the American president can't get them to write a check.
Great. Well,
whether
it,
they're George Bush or whether they're Barack Obama,
now, isn't
they're
that
not going to cooperate.
Is that fair to put it on the president's? You know, is it on his
part of
shoulders?
It? Yeah,
or
he,
is it part of our—
He made all those promises.
Right?
He's going to bring everyone together.
He never said he was going to move anybody in Europe to write a check. But here's the point. The point is that there's it is smart and time for us to recognize that it's in our American interest to make sure we've got enough troops on the ground to keep the stability, but they don't all have to be paid for by us, and to engage as many of the
okay.
people that make as much
how
money as we do.
How do you get them to do it? I mean, here's my point.
Yeah.
In the whole campaign, the liberals were saying, let's get rid of this bonehead George Bush. He's an absolute goofball. Let's get a sophisticated, sharp-talking, articulate, one of the great communicators of all time. Let's get him. He's going to be able to wow the Europeans. And boy, you know, 500,000 people show up in Berlin. And yet when we go back when he's the president of the United States, now he's the president of the world. We ask him for some troops. Nada. We're not even getting a schnitzel out of this.
Not a schnitzel.
Nothing. That's what
right.
I'm saying.
So
here.
All we can do is keep talking because we got to move the Europeans who are going to have radio shows just like this one coming out of Berlin, right?
They better not. They better not be called
If you were advising
that has to be right? called Beyond the Bundestag. If it's Beyond the Bundestag, that's okay.
That's a great name. Let me ask
Dan
a question.
It's a copyright infringement.
Let me ask Dan a question.
I don't know if they got intellectual property laws that we like over
there. Okay, beyond the
Chinese don't.
Beyond the schnitzel here, Dan.
Beyond
Beijing. If you were advising... the president.
No, I don't advise him on anything because we have to break right now because that little music, little playing at me.
We have schnitzel.
1-800-723-8029 from coast to coast and border to border on America's great radio stations, Sirius XM satellite radio. You're probably picking us up, you know, somewhere on a bird somewhere, maybe on an old, you know, lampshade, whatever. You're listening to Beyond the Beltway. I'm Bruce Dumont. This is live and lively from Chicago.
Announcing the Ally Bank online savings account with a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account with a great rate. Compare rates for yourself at allybank.com or call Ally at 877-247-ALLY. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment and quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries, because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell, trusted everywhere.
from South Bend, Indiana to Sugar Land, Texas, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. We've not heard from anybody in Texas tonight, so if you're listening to us on KLBJ out in Austin, Texas, it would be nice to hear from you. 1-800-723-8289. Joining us this evening are our liberal, our progressive, our Democrat is Dan Johnson Weinberger. He is a lobbyist for progressive causes, primarily working at the state level. He is also he is a graduate of the University of Chicago Law School, undergraduate University of Illinois at Urbana, as is our Republican, who is Chris Voronis. He is an executive with one of the country's leading public relations firms, and Charles Lipson joins us. He is, for almost 30 years, a professor at the University of Chicago. He teaches political science, and he has written several books, and he is also the pride of Marks, Mississippi. Got out of Mississippi, where you were raised in a family, and in the
I located my parents business. And felt very proud. About that.
And they were in the retail business?
They had a small clothing store. I spent my first 18 years there and then went off to college. Still have a lot of friends from Mississippi, but also friends, some of them moved up to Memphis, and I have a lot of family in New Orleans as well. In fact, we're going to New Orleans next month, and everybody in Mississippi loves to go to New Orleans and have a good time.
Very good. Well, it's nice to have you with us this evening, as it always is. This is a threesome that gets together periodically, at least once a month, and it's a good, usually we have a good discussion. Let's head to Hector. He's listening to us in St. Charles, Illinois. That's west of the city of Chicago, and he's got some questions and wants to join the conversation. Go ahead, Hector. Are you there? Hector is, he's flown the coop.
I want to say something, Bruce.
Please do, and then we're going to get another call.
I want to say something about my two colleagues here, because they represent something that I think there's too little of
youth.
In American politics. not only youth and beauty, but the fact is Chris is very much a devoted conservative and a Republican, and Dan is very much a progressive, active Democrat. But they're friends. They talk about these issues. Neither has managed to convince each other since they were undergraduates together. But I think our country has been ill-served by people that simply can't talk across these divisions. And I'm delighted to
and
be
can't
on the show.
And also can't be friends. I mean, we always say, I mean, in the history of this program, I mean, we all come with an element of passion from our political perspective. My passion is to let everybody's passions just sort of flow out so everybody can feel that they can, you know, I don't want anyone to ever say that they were not able to get, you know, to say their piece on a political issue. And that's what this program is about. So it's good. And I think everybody here represents it very well tonight. 1-800-723-8289 is the telephone number. Let us head to John. He is in Pentwater, Michigan. Where is Pentwater, Michigan, John?
Well, it's midway between Muskegon and Ludington, a little closer to Ludington on the west coast of Lake Michigan.
Very good. Well, it's nice to hear from Michigan, one of my favorite states. Go ahead.
Actually, I was responding to a comment I heard one of the group make about not having an apparent plan, and I believe I know what I would whisper into our president's ear, but first of all, I'd like to read a short, very short quote from Rahm Emanuel.
Okay.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. Things that we had postponed for too long, that were long-term, are now immediate and must be dealt with. This crisis provides the opportunity for us to do things that you could not do before. So with that in mind, I feel that there may be some deeper plan at work here, as evidenced by five or six things that are occurring just in today's news, gutting our health care for a non-proven substitute, the cap and tax legislation, Eric Holder's decision without, quote, consulting our president, end of quote, decision to try the KSM and group in the civil
New
court,
York, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the selection of czars in the White House, which goes without saying, not spending the stimulus money, et cetera, et cetera. So what I would whisper in our president's ear is knock off the Cloward-Piven strategy and get back to running the country.
What's the Cloward-Piven strategy? What is that strategy?
Well, it's a strategy devised in the early 70s by two Yale professors, I believe, with a socialistic bent that called for the disruption of America and capitalism by causing as much disruption as possible by overloading the American system. And I believe the issues there were not quite the same as they are now, but they conceived of a strategy to do this and got published in The Nation magazine and so on and so forth. So I'd like the group's response to this.
Dan, your response.
Well, I guess on, you know, I'm a little bit at a loss, but I guess I'd just say I think on health insurance reform, the idea that somehow reducing the deficit, ending the practice of letting insurance companies deny people coverage because of a pre-existing condition or knocking out lifetime caps, and ending the practice of two-thirds of families who have to declare bankruptcy because they got medical bills they can't pay, if that is disrupting America and messing up the country, well, then I guess I'm all for the Clower Pivot plan.
Chris. The caller's absolutely right, and it's politics 101, whether Dan wants to admit it or not, that in moments of crisis, you can get things done. Rahm Emanuel is right. And when you have a crisis like this, you can nationalize. You have the opportunity to nationalize one-seventh of the country's economy with a Rube Goldberg program of how to deliver health care to the citizens of the country.
I'm taking you're not endorsing that program. Yeah.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. I'm saying politically that's what's happening. Morally, that's a whole other discussion.
So if that's what's happening politically, why are they having the administration? Why are they having such a tough time getting this thing through a Democratic-controlled Congress?
Because moderate Democrats are rightly concerned for their own political livelihoods. They know that this will be tough to sell next election. The liberal Democrats have nothing to lose. The Nancy Pelosi's of the world, they can vote this. They can vote on this and they'll always be reelected.
Dan. Here's the real reason why we haven't been able to implement more of the agenda faster. Because the Republicans have done a very good job at making
this
ridiculous.
You have 60 votes in the Senate.
Thank you. Can I finish my point?
60 votes in the Senate.
Thank you, Chris.
You can't get
Chris,
this passed.
I appreciate you ruining Dr. Lipton's point.
I complimented you guys.
You ruined his point. You ruined his point. The reason is we've come to believe somehow that you need 60 votes to get anything done. When this is a new radical interpretation of filibuster rules. And the Senate is an old, rusty institution that doesn't translate popular will into policy very well. If we only had the House, the only body elected by the people directly, we would already have health insurance reform.
We
would already
that.
Have cap and trade legislation.
But so where we are now. Though.
So where we are now is the problem is very rusty body, the United States Senate. Where a couple of guys can hold
controls,
up
Dan.
For a very long time.
It sounds like
and
your real complaints with the U.S. Constitution.
The real,
but what,
you don't want a bicameral government.
Dan,
that's what it sounds
Dan,
like.
I absolutely
Dan, speak to Chris's point, though, that if the liberals who are elected from overwhelmingly liberal districts, I mean, you're coming from San Francisco, you could probably get just about anything of a liberal persuasion passed.
Yeah.
The question is, though, what about those people who come from either swing districts or more conservative districts?
Great question.
Why should they, if they're concerned about self-preservation, like all 435 members of the House are, all sides, then why is it wrong for them to consider what their constituents want?
It's exactly right for them to do. But here's the big disagreement. Republicans like to tell the president and the Democratic Congress, no, 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 don't deliver on the big promises because these moderate Democrats that represent swing districts, they'll lose. Democrats and progressives like to say, if you want to get reelected and energize people to come out, deliver on the big promise. Pass health insurance reform in a big way. Pass cap and trade legislation in a big way, and then you bring out the same people that voted in a presidential election in 08 to come back in 2010.
Charles.
There's zero chance cap and trade is going to pass. The environmental agenda is dead right now.
Elaborate on that for those people who don't know what
cap and trade
is.
The fact is, There is a strong movement in the United States to reduce carbon emissions, but anything that would add regulations and taxes in the middle of a massive downturn in the economy is a non-starter. The fact is Nancy Pelosi made a terrible mistake making marginal members vote in favor of this before it went up to the Senate, where it's not going to move forward at all. The real problem that underlies the discussion between Dan and Chris in the dispute is that this is essentially a center-right country, and the reason it's a center-right the reason that the Democrats were able to win a large majority in the House and in the Senate was by carrying with good candidates a number of marginal districts. The problem is the same thing that got them the large majorities will cost them the large majorities if the center weight of the liberal part of the party pushes it through. And the same thing will happen and has happened to liberal Republicans when the conservative Republicans push through their agenda.
Well, what? The word center-right country got Dan's hackles up, and we're going to give you a chance to respond to that,
that's
but we do
a
have to break.
Thing. Not a pretty no, thing to see not, those
it's,
hackles.
It's not a pretty sight at all. 1-800-723-8029 is the phone number. We've got Sean standing by in New York City. We'll hear from him and a couple of other people that are standing by on the line, but we'll hear Dan stand up and say why he does not believe we live in a center-right country. I'm Bruce Dumont from Coast to Coast and Border to Border. Every Sunday night, now heading to our 30th anniversary. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Chicago.
Recalculating route.
What's up with this GPS?
You need to finish your holiday shopping.
Right. I doubt Michelle would want another spice rack.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back.
I can get Michelle that new camera, plus 3% cash back for me. Hey, how do you know so much?
My brother's a Chase ATM.
Chase Freedom gives you 3% cash back at computer and electronic stores, discount stores, and bookstores. Just sign up at chase.com/freedom. Chase, what matters.
Chase cards issued by Chase Bank USA NA and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you could be saving with Geico?
It's the money I am saving with Geico. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Oh, well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me?
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Don't forget Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9 o'clock on our flagship station, WLS Radio. We will be having a post-speech opportunity for you to respond to the president's address before the West Point cadets. That's his big speech on Afghanistan, and also a reminder that on Saturday, December 5th, Chicago television icon Bill Jackson will be coming to the Lake Theater. It'll be Saturday morning with BJ and Dirty Dragon. It'll be live from 10 until noon, and you can go to the museum website, museum.tv, or tomorrow, the calls are, there'll be nobody there at the moment, but write the number down, 312-822-0512. There's only about 25 seats left, so if you're interested in this, this will be the last public performance of Bill Jackson ever in the city of Chicago, and if you grew up with him, it might be a good idea to take your children down and see what was really one of the most inventive television personalities in the history of Chicago. There's a lot of people that went on to greater fame and fortune, but I don't think there's a more talented person working in the television field in the history of this city. So, again, Bill Jackson, if you know who I'm talking about, I think you agree with what I just said. Again, you can see him live on Saturday, December 5th, 10 to noon at the Lake Theater in Oak Park, Illinois. And let us go back to calls.
No, I had a.
You were going to make a point. You were going to dispute the term center right nation.
Yes,
Dan Weinberg.
The great myth that after 53%. I mean, how do you define how whatever the country's center right or center left? How do you define that? Well, you either define it by what the people think and how they vote, or you define it by how the government gets elected. So if you look at, and I'm going to finish my point, Mr. Veronis. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So 53% of the people voted for somebody that the other presidential candidate called repeatedly a socialist. 53% of the country voted for that person. We have the largest Democratic majority in at least a generation. There is zero evidence. And the Speaker of the House is among the most progressive liberal representatives
ever.
Ever.
Guess
so
what?
Faced with this overwhelming evidence,
let him finish this point.
The overwhelming evidence of the voters and the elected officials having a center-left orientation, where is the any evidence that we are a center-right country?
Lyndon Johnson carried the country with 67%. And then 10 short years later, Ronald Reagan carried it with 72%. If you look at this nation on the county level, it's a red nation, regardless of whether Obama wins with 53% in 2008.
But I look at it on
the Democratic power is concentrated in the big cities in this country.
And you know, if I
and that's a fact.
If I can weigh in on your answer, you say, where do we get off saying that that we're a center right country? And I would argue that with everything that you've just said.
Yeah.
Perhaps the most liberal person ever to be nominated by the Democratic Party who has won. Not the most nominated. George McGovern was more liberal.
Right, right.
But the one who's won. I mean, he obviously, I think he's the most elected, most liberal elected Democrat. So you got that. I agree everything that you said about congressional and everything else. So you got the power. You clearly have the power.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't think it's really a center left country is all the things that Barack Obama said he was going to do when he was running – they haven't happened. If all of those people believed that they could vote whatever way they wanted and they could get reelected, then these things would have been passed by now. We would not be talking about trying to get the president to define whether he's going to stand up for a government program or not, a government option or not. He would have said, you know what, we're going to have a government option, period. He hasn't said that.
So,
because once you get elected, everybody.
And we know it's his personal preference.
That's right. That, of course it's his personal preference. The point is it's like, why is he waffling on gay marriage? If you believe it, I mean, if you believe in it or you believe let's abolish don't ask, don't tell. Don't tell the gay community you're going to do something and then not do it. If you really believe in it, do it. And, you know, suffer the slings and the arrow. And, you know, if we live in a center-left country, Barack Obama should be doing every damn thing he said he was going to do.
Oh, I get it.
You know what? And everybody that believes congressionally with him, let him go out and let him vote on it. And 2 years from now, the people of America are going to – they will send a message, yes, we're going to affirm that we're a center-left country. Or, frankly, they're going to throw the rascals out and we're going to flip.
Dan's afraid to let that happen because he knows he'd lose the Congress.
So I'm going to separate out – there are two ways that we're talking about. One is whether we are economically a center-right or center-left country, and another that you mentioned, whether we are culturally – a center-right or center-left culturally. I'll concede the point on culturally. I'll concede that we haven't moved as far culturally, certainly on gay marriage, as I would like. But economically, I think you guys may have to concede the point that this country's moving left.
Absolutely not.
Yeah?
Absolutely not.
And I'll finish with this one. When it's the State of the Union address in January, and by that time, fundamental health insurance reform is passed, financed largely by higher taxes or fees on high incomes, because that's how we're going to pay for it, and which would make the first year of the Obama administration the most successful of any modern president.
One quick call. Sean in New York listening to us on Sirius XM. Are you there? He's gone. No, he's gone because the music isn't playing and I didn't have my headsets on, so I'm going to a call when we're ending the show. But anyway, I'll learn in my perhaps it'll be 31st year I'll learn this. Our thanks to Chris Varonis, who's our card-carrying Republican this evening. Thanks very much, Chris. Always nice to have you with us. Dan Johnson Weinberg,
thanks,
it's good to have
me.
People who are who disagree but are not disagreeable. And as Charles Lipson said, the professor in giving you in grading you as participants in this program.
Hey, but I grade on a curve.
Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago and the Pride of Marks, Mississippi. They've all been with us this evening. Our thanks to Tom Burke-Cruz and Fritz Goldman for their assistance in the production of this program. Again, don't forget Tuesday night, if you're listening to us on WLS Radio in Chicago, it'll be a reaction with your fellow telephone calls immediately after the president's speech Tuesday night at West Point, talking about the future of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-922-4074. That's 1-800-922-4074. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-922-4074. That's 1-800-922-4074.
Announcing the Ally Bank online savings account with a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account with a great rate. Compare rates for yourself at allybank.com or call Ally at 877-247-ALLY. Ally, straightforward, member FDIC.
It's quite a proposition when you think about it. You contact GEICO and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. 15 minutes, simple as that. Something they've been doing for over 70 years. You want car insurance and you want extra money in your wallet, done and done. Now, not only do you have some nice car insurance, you've got plenty of money to spend on some tasty biscuits. Or flowers for your mum. Or whatever it is you fancy.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment. And quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries. Because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
I'm Felix. I've been doing tattoos for over 15 years. I get people in here who ask me about removing a tattoo they don't want anymore. I've really had nothing to help. And then I discovered Wrecking Balm. It's an easy daily fading system. The darkest, deepest pigments, they easily fade without any discoloring, blemishing, or scarring the skin. Wrecking Balm is really the best thing for tattoo regret.
Call right now, 1-800-507-4221. For your in-home 60-day risk-free trial, that's 1-800-507-4221. That's 1-800-507-4221.